Hi, you're listening to a podcast brought to you by the teaching team at New Life in North Lincolnshire. New Life is committed to helping transform people and transform places through the love and power of Jesus Christ. We hope you, in some small way, will be blessed and transformed by this message.
Good morning. Are we all okay? Good. Glad to be in church. Great. Well, it's good to be able to share with you this morning. If you don't know me, my name is Mark, and I do various things in church, but I'm on the board. I'm a member of the board here, so get to play a part there, serving in the life of the church. And it's just a great privilege to be able to share from God's word this morning. Last week, when Dina was preaching, she said, you know, at what point into January do we feel like it's too late to say Happy New Year to people? I think we're way beyond that now. But, in what feels like the 500th of January, anyone feel like that? Like, January, how long is it taking? I feel like, how many Sundays have we had? Here we are. But I've got a message that I did want to share. We're still fairly into the new year, and so fairly early into the start of the new year. So I have a message that really I wanted to bring to help us as we think about something that we can put in place in our lives as we head out into 2024. So is that okay? We're going to share, we're going to read from God's word this morning. So if you have a Bible, and it doesn't matter if not, because I'm going to read it to you, but I'm going to read a few verses from Psalm 103. So if you have a Bible, then you can turn to that and follow along with me. So we're going to read. So let's just take a moment as we come to God's word, as we read. We believe that this is some time, a time in our service where we can hear what God wants to say to us. And so let's pray as we open his word up this morning. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to gather to praise and to worship you. And we believe as we open our lives up in praise and adoration, worship, thanksgiving, that God, you come and you meet us in this moment. So we pray as we spend a few moments around the Bible, looking at what you have to say to us, that you will speak to us through it. I pray that there will be things that shape who we are and how we are followers of you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So Psalm 103. I'm going to start just explaining the first few verses before I get to the main verse that I want us to think about this morning. And if you're new to reading the Bible, the Psalms is a collection of poems, songs in the Bible. And I love them, and a lot of Christians do, because they bring real honest emotion before God. I think sometimes we feel like we have to kind of keep those things away. But when you read the Psalms, and there's quite a lot of them, you get moments of praise that we're going to see this morning, but you get moments where it's like, God, why is this happening? Why are these people coming against me? Why has this gone wrong? You know, and in the midst of all that emotion, God is at work. And we shouldn't be afraid of bringing that before God, that honesty of where we're at. But the psalm that I'm reading this morning is one that's about praise and about celebrating who God is. So this is how it starts off. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Amen. Yes, praise the Lord. Some versions will say blessed, but this is praise is a great word to actually use there. This is about something rising up within us to say, God, I am going to praise you. Often we think about praise in response to something that God has done. But the psalmist here is saying, I'm just going to praise. I am just going to praise. And that's what we've been doing in our worship. Come on, my soul. So it says, praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being, praise his holy name. And we make a lot out of soul, you know, body, soul, spirit, and all of that. When the Bible talks about soul, it's just saying everything that we are, praise God. Everything? Yes. Everything that we are, praise God. So all of, you know, our physical being, our mind, our heart, our words, our actions, everything, praise God. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Forget not all his benefits. It's funny how we have a tendency to forget what God has done. Praise helps us to remember. And we think, surely we wouldn't forget. But actually, there is something when we stray, when we move away from being in community with God's people, from the spiritual habits and practices that we know are good for us, the things that we know that God instructs us in, we can so easily forget. So praise helps us to remember. Why do we encourage people to come to gather on a Sunday, either in person or online? This week I've been doing some, we've had lectures. I work at Bible College, and we've been doing lectures on digital theology. Did you know that was a thing? It was amazing. And I was learning about how not using in person and online, and actually, because even online is in person, because they're with us via technology. Anyway, so those, wherever we are, we gather, it helps us to remember, because we sing. We are confessing who God is. So praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. And then the psalmist lists them, David writing the psalm. Who forgives all your sins? All my sins? Yes, all your sins. And heals all your diseases. Who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion. Who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Anyone claiming that this morning? Want some renewed youth and like the eagle? Five benefits. Forgives your sins, heals your diseases, redeems your life from the pit, crowns you with love and compassion, satisfies your desires. What a powerful psalm. What a powerful message. It is God who satisfies. It is God who crowns us. It is God who brings life to us. He is the one who forgives us. He is the one who can heal us. We know we're thankful for all of the wonderful advances in science and medicine that we have, but God can bring healing, and he is the one who can redeem us and bring us into life. And so we come to remember those benefits. Now, these words here, it says that God crowns us with love and compassion. That's kind of an important thing that we're going to see when I get to the main verse I want to focus on. God has put his character within us. So kings would be crowned, and you know, the same sort of stuff that we would see today. You're crowned with jewels and whatnot. But what does God crown us with? Love and compassion. And we're going to see that is who God is. He is a God who is loving and compassionate. This Hebrew word, hesed. It's this idea of this loving kindness, steadfast love. God has crowned us with that. And there's a concept that we talk about, and this is going to become, like I say, important for us in a moment. There's a concept in theology, and we don't talk about it a lot, but I like to give you a little something extra, okay? So you can impress your friends with it if you want. But we talk about theosis, or people talk about theosis. This idea of becoming, not becoming God, but becoming like God. And there was a writer, Irenaeus, who talked about God becoming like who we are so we could become who he is. The process of being a disciple, which Dina was talking about last week, is a process of transformation, that we become more like Jesus. We become more like who God is. And how can that happen? Because he has crowned us with his character. God has put something within us that makes us like him. And then this is a beautiful verse. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. We could preach a whole sermon on that. He made known his ways to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. And then here's where I want to bring a few thoughts this morning. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. Now, I'd encourage you to read the rest of that psalm at some point through today. But it says this. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. That is who God is. Gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, abounding in love. I don't know how many people here can speak more than one language. Maybe a quick show of hands. By the way, tongues doesn't count. All right? Everyone's like, yes, I'm a Pentecostal. Yes, we know. Okay, and if you don't know what tongues is, you can speak to one of the pastoral team after and they'll explain. But a quick show of hands, who can speak more than one language? Okay, we've got a few hands going up, all right. So you know what it's like when you're learning. Some of you might remember back to those days in school where you were learning French or German, yeah? You're like, please don't make me remember those lessons. And you know what it's like when, you know, you go abroad and you're like, yes, this is my moment to shine. I am going to impress people with my language skills. We've been on holiday to Spain a few times. Like, yes, here we go. Uno Coke, por favor. You know, and it's like, I am Spanish. And you're like, no. And you can see the look in their eyes, like, seriously? And I know that when we've been to France as well, they like it when you try. Like, rather than, you know, what Brits tend to be like, oh, you must surely speak English, so we'll just do that. They like it to have a go, and you're like, you're trying to check in. It's like, well, I can tell you that I have two brothers, because I remember doing that in GCSE, you know, and I like football, but I don't know this bit. And, you know, because I teach, I'm learning languages, biblical languages, and I have this app that I use to help me keep sharpening my skills, and I learn it exactly as the app tells me. So we have all these words, Yerushalayim, that's Jerusalem, you know, and I pronounce it exactly like that, and Dina laughs at me because, you know, I'm sort of walking around pronouncing these words exactly like the app tells me. But you've got to follow the pattern. You know, with languages, you're learning how to speak, but it's not just the words, it's also how you use those words. You know, when it's like, you know, we have idioms, don't we, and phrases that are, you know, we know, and when people try to use them, we realize, you're not quite, you're obviously not, have learned English as a first language, because that idiom isn't quite how we would use it, or the accent that we use, the way that we speak shows that we haven't really learned this language. But we're trying to pattern ourselves so that we learn and then we become more fluent. And instead of it being clunky, suddenly we can start speaking, and maybe some of us have that ability. We've become more fluent. And it's the same sort of thing with discipleship, that we're learning, and we're learning to pattern our lives after God, after Jesus. And at the start, it can feel all a little bit clunky and awkward, and it's different because it's not our nature. But eventually it becomes more like that. And, you know, we can't just put on the accent and hope that, you know, we get away with that for a while. But actually something is transformed within us so that we embody. Now, why am I saying this? Because Psalm 8 says, the Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in love. Well, at the start of this year, and building on what Dina was saying last week about discipleship, here's a great place for us to say, hey, you know how I can pattern my life after God some more? I can be like him. I can be compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in love. Just some simple things that we can take from this psalm to say, at the start of this year, the kind of person that I want to become, the way I want to pattern my life after God and Jesus, as we'll see when we look at the Gospels, but it's to say, I'm going to become more gracious and compassionate, more slower to anger and abounding in love. And the thing is, when we come, so I want to just pick out those words and think about them for a few moments. And I know that when we start thinking about this, part of the challenge is that we, and as believers and as followers of Jesus, we have to change how we respond to things. So there's kind of a reaction that we have, our natural, normal human reaction, that this is how we normally behave, but actually we're being transformed, we're being changed, becoming more like God, becoming more like Jesus, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger. So we have to change our reactions, but also the excuses that we make. Well, you don't understand. If this person treats me like that, then I'm going to treat them the same way. And if this sort of thing happens, but you don't know the hardship that I've been through. You don't know the things that I've faced. Absolutely, and I don't. And I understand that these things are a journey, and I'm not trying to be dismissive of them. But the process of discipleship, being transformed and following the pattern of God, is actually, we change our reaction. We change our excuses, and we become more like who God is. Because as we read in this psalm, later on. God doesn't judge us according to our actions. It's out of his loving kindness, out of his hesed. His reaction is not based on us, thank goodness. It says he doesn't treat us according to our sins. Are you thankful for that? He doesn't treat us as we should be treated. Tret. The northern are coming out. He treats us according to his character. And we can flow out of that. So a few things then. Compassionate and gracious. Can we this year become people who are more compassionate and gracious? I'm a big believer that we just need to do, sometimes anyway, we need to do the simple things well. We can make faith very complicated. I know that I've just talked about theology, and trust me, the rabbit hole goes very, very, very deep. And I love teaching that stuff. I love to talk about the wonder and the mystery of theology and all of the intricacies that come out with that, and looking at the technicalities of verses. But at the root of it, at the heart of it, are very simple principles that we show some grace and compassion to people. You might not know the terms. You might not know all of the, you know, early church fathers and the languages. That doesn't matter. I mean, absolutely amazing if you want to journey with that, and we'd love that. But we can all learn and do and practice a bit of grace and compassion, yeah? That showing some kindness towards other people. Not the reaction, where they were like this with me, so I'm going to react like that. And not the excuse, or not the justifying. But actually, out of my following of God, I am going to be someone who shows kindness, compassion, grace. God is our Heavenly Father. God is someone, the one who loves us. And as I've just said, he doesn't treat us according to how we deserve. He treats us because he's our Father. And out of love and kindness to us. And so we then extend that out to other people. And we can also do that in other ways, not just with the theology, but also with the spectacular and the supernatural. And I know, again, we like to talk about those things in church. And I know it's wonderful when we see those things. But I believe increasingly that we're in a world that doesn't just need to see the supernatural at work, but believers who take seriously what it is to be like God, to be like Jesus, to follow him and to show kindness and compassion. In as simple things as, you know, smiling at someone, saying a kind word, encouraging someone, just showing something of that nature to others. So the Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger. Slow to anger. The Hebrew word here for anger is an interesting one, because it's the word for nose. And it's this idea that when you get angry, your nose flares up. And my kids pick on me. By the way, I'm learning. My kids pick on me, Micah does, because it's like, you know, when I get a bit cross at something, like, the nose goes. He's like, oh, the nose breathing. Dad's angry. So I'm trying to learn. I had an experience yesterday, okay? So I'm learning, all right? And this is, please, you know, this is an important thing. Ministers haven't, or leaders, we haven't got it all together. I'm learning. Yesterday, we need a new battery on our car. Okay, so I've mentioned the word car. For me, that's already raising my anger. I know some people love cars. They're like, oh, I just love being in the open road. For me, cars are just things that take my money and give nothing in return, okay? So that I'm not happy. I'm not happy when I have to spend money on the car. And so I turn up. It needs a new battery. I know batteries don't need replacing often, but it's a fairly common car part, you know. Anyway, so the person comes out, so I thought, I'll ask him to fit it. It's not a good idea for me. Takes a look at it. Ooh. This is unusual. And I'm there thinking, it's a Citroen. You know, it's not out the realm of possibility that someone is going to turn up driving a Citroen. You know, did you not think that I wasn't saying all of this, it's just in processing. But, you know, and it wasn't their fault, to be fair. But I'm like, so I wasn't angry at them, but this is the situation, because I can just see, oh, this is unusual. I have this anointing for buying things that are like one of a kind. You know how it is, like, oh, we've never seen one of these before. What, a car? And you sort of, so you're going on, and I have this at all other point, you know, you get some work done in your house, oh, this is unusual. Seriously, why? Why could I just buy something normal, you know? Anyway, so this situation is, I can feel it rising within me. I'm like, why did they design it like this? Why did they do this? But really what's going through my mind is, this is going to be way more expensive than I want it to be. But I'm thinking, no, slow to anger. And actually, one of my things is, and this is something I have to learn, I am a bit of a catastrophizer. So I do immediately, hey, don't laugh at me. I'm sharing my heart now, okay? I go to the worst case scenario. So, and I know some people might join me in this. Some people are like, everything will be fine. Yeah, if you've got that anointing, come speak to me, pray for me. I'm the sort of person that goes to the worst case. You know, this is going to cost me so much money, and how am I going to do that? And we're going and so before you know it, the whole thing's unraveled. And actually, I'm saying that partly as an aside, but partly I know some of us are like that. And Christians, we aren't always helpful with each other, because the last thing I need in that situation is someone, oh, God's got it all in control. Yes, I know, and I do trust God, but sometimes we need help to process these things into our lives, don't we? And if we are that sort of person that maybe goes to the worst case, one, don't feel guilt and shame about it. Because I know what, as Christians, we can be like that. Sorry, I'm doing a complete aside on this now. But we do this sort of just chucking out Bible verses as if that's, you know, it's going to make everything better for someone. Thank you, Dad. But God is slow to anger. And when I'm talking about reaction, so I thought, no, just relax, it's going to be okay. And sure enough, actually, I'm trying to put these things into action in my life. But how often, and I see this so much in people's lives, in our world, people respond first with anger, then calm down and realize, oh no, actually, it might not have been like that. Maybe I misunderstood that person. Maybe they were just having a bad day. But we don't do that. We don't give the benefit of the doubt. A lot of the world, it's immediate anger. How dare they be like this? Then we sort of calm down. As God's people, we need to reverse that. That our first thing should be, let me be generous in my judgment here. Let me try to offer something that is of God's character, who is slow to anger. Let me try and think of, you know, give the benefit of the doubt and respond out of that, rather than out of my natural feeling. Hey, listen, like I say, it doesn't always happen. There are many things a day that can make me angry. I'll tell you about my train journeys as well, when someone, 5 o'clock in the morning, and someone is sniffing, and all of this stuff. Last week on the train, so, yeah, anyway, sorry, I won't get into it. Someone just started playing a film opposite me. Just started playing a film. I'm like, do you not want to put headphones in? Anyway, so I'm learning. It's treating, giving patience. But actually, God's people, 2024, what can we do? We can be kind, compassionate, showing love of our Heavenly Father, and slow to anger. We've got to reverse that. We are responding out of God's nature towards others, not immediately. And, you know, this sort of thing where there's just this raising of the narrative to create anger in people. We have to speak words of life and truth and goodness into the situation. God, I want to bring something of your life into this. So we're slow to anger. So how do we react? And actually, amongst believers, amongst Christians, We go into churches and we see all sorts of things going on because Christians are falling out with each other. Hey, can we show some kindness and compassion to one another, graciousness and compassion, and being slow to anger, some patience with each other that then overflows to our world in generosity. And then the final thing is this, abounding in love. Be like God. Become transformed to be Him. Gracious and compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. Abounding in love. In 1 Corinthians 13, a famous passage that many people will be aware of, even if you weren't sure where it came from, often read at weddings, talking about love. Love is the greatest. And yes, it's a great passage for weddings, absolutely, but it's about the church. It's about the church. It's about how we treat each other. And Paul is saying, look, we can have everything. We can speak in tongues. We can have the miracles. We can have all the power and all the wonderful gifts that God wants to give. But if we don't have love, we're useless. We're just making a noise. And I wonder, it's God's people, slow to anger. The opposite of that is that we abound in love. We abound in love. Our openness towards others, even when maybe we don't click, maybe when they rub us up the wrong way, but hey, we'll be that person to someone else, won't we? And actually showing some patience. So out of that nature, we're showing God's character to our world. People transformed by that love. Like I say, it's this word, this Hebrew word hesed. It's not a common word, and you know, different ways of translating it, but it's this steadfast love, this idea of this covenantal love that God doesn't give up on us. And so we, out the overflow of what God has done in us, show that towards others as well. Now, I've been talking about being like God. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. And you might say, well, you know, that's a big concept, be like God. But one of the things that we teach here as a church, one of the things that's our essence, is that we have a thing, and it can sound a bit strange at first, but we talk about Jesus, not God. Because God can be an interesting concept for a lot of people. You know, you might have an image of God actually who is the opposite to what I've just said. Your image of God was that He's angry. A lot of people grow up with that image. God's going to punish us. No, God's compassionate. He's our Heavenly Father, but we struggle with that. So we like to talk about Jesus, and a quote I've come across recently, I've seen it in a couple of places, so I'm not sure who came up with it first, but Jesus is what God has to say. You want to know what it's like, how to be like God, how to go from Him and do something about it, we look at Jesus. There was a quote here that Jesus, this is Catherine Sondrager, the incarnation is the utterance of the eternal word in bodiliness. That Jesus became man, He became like us. So if we want to know what God is like and how to outwork that, we look to Jesus. And you might think, well, how do we do that? Well, we have the Gospels as a great starting place. And I just want to encourage us as something real practical that maybe at the start of a year when we're thinking about new things and freshness, and we often encourage people with reading the Bible. Maybe if you've got out of that habit or you're not sure where to start, read the Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Read about what Jesus was like. Because in the Gospels, we see someone who was compassionate. He had compassion on the crowds. He didn't treat people like they deserved to be treated. He showed love to them. And we can follow that example and hand that on to others. So we look to Jesus as the expression of who God is, and we pattern our lives after Him. We can read. We're not just left to kind of, oh, what might this look like in reality? Actually, I'm going to follow who Jesus is. And often because of the way we teach in church, we could sort of think, oh, well, let's get to death and resurrection because that's the most important thing. But I want to say to us, no, we have those Gospels and all of the life of Christ for a reason. Not just so that we can learn some nice things that Jesus did, but so that we can learn what it is to be a disciple, what it is to be like Christ. And so I want to encourage us this morning. Psalm 103, verse 8. Make it something in your life this year. These are my goals. This is what I want to put up and say, yes, God, this is what I'm doing. I want to be loving, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. And I follow the example of Jesus as a way of understanding what it is to be like God, because Jesus was the perfect representation of who God is. So we follow and pattern our lives after him. Before I hand back to the band and Dan to lead us, I want to pray for us for a moment. So let's just bow our heads, close our eyes. And just for a moment in response, maybe there's just one of those things. That you're thinking, that's where I want to change. When people look at me as a follower of Christ, as a follower of Jesus, they would say, there's someone who's compassionate and gracious. There's someone who's slow to anger. There's someone who abounds in love. We want that to overflow into our world. That we leave a mark that person is different. There's something different about them and it brings life. So Father God, I pray. It's simple, yet difficult to master. And I pray that you will help us, Father God. Forgive us for the times where we fail you. We acknowledge before you that we fail many times in compassion, in allowing our anger to get the better of us, in not abounding in love. I pray that you will help us to react in a different way, to respond in a better way, to not make the excuses. Father, help us, forgive us, and thank you that in your love, you don't treat us as we deserve to be treated. You don't judge us according to our sins, but you look at us as our loving Heavenly Father. And I pray that people here today may know that truth, and if they need to hear that afresh.
Thanks for listening to this message from New Life in North Lincolnshire. To find out more, do visit us online at newlifechurch.uk. Or why not pay us a visit? We'd love to see you.
Who have never encountered you will know you love them. And I pray that you will help us as we seek to put into practice these things, that we will follow you and pattern our lives after you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.